You're listening to Four Seas, One Family, episode 87. Welcome to Four Seas, One Family, the podcast where expats, immigrants, and migrants can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm so glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey, and welcome to the show. This episode, get ready to join us for a ride as we listen to the journey of a super humorous and energetic expat immigrant from Melbourne, Australia. Hereupon, after being offered a dream job overseas, as well as taking a chance after meeting an Austrian boy, hear why Carly Halls decided to pack up all her stuff in one backpack to embark on a new chapter abroad in Vienna, Austria. Carly points out how important it is to leave expectations of how life abroad should be. And believe me, after listening to Carly's story, you agree that the Kardashians can't match her swagger. So without any further ado, let's listen to the interview. Hello, Carly. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Really good. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, and thank you for joining us here. Hey, tell everybody where you're coming to us from.
I am coming to you from the beautiful city of Vienna in Austria, but my accent might be a giveaway that I'm originally from Australia, which causes all sorts of hilarious confusion for people.
Oh, you're kidding me. Well, just a little bit. I wouldn't know. Hey, how did you end up out there?
It's kind of a crazy story, as it often is. I was living and working in Melbourne in the travel industry, and I got the job of a lifetime to be a European tour guide for a company that sells tours that go around Europe for 18 to 35-year-olds. And that was obviously a dream for 2 years, but in one of my winter seasons, I went and worked in the ski fields in Austria and met an Austrian boy in an après ski bar. Who already had a lovely place in Vienna, and things were going pretty well. So I took a chance, packed all my stuff into one backpack, came to Vienna to try and give things a go. And we met in the January. We got married for a visa in the September of the same year.
Wow.
And that was 6 years ago now. So yeah, Vienna definitely suckered me and stole my heart. Along with the Austrian boy. He's pretty nice too.
Well, how romantic was that? Well, this is so romantic. You know, everyone, you get swept right off your feet, right? Am I right? Was it one of those type of stories or what?
It was pretty crazy. Yeah, we were trying to be very practical, and we thought that, you know, obviously marrying someone that you'd only known 8 or 9 months was a bit Kardashian-esque. So we were trying to be very rational about it. We were trying to we just said it was signing a piece of paper. We didn't have a ceremony or anything. We actually waited 6 years to have the proper wedding with all the family and everything. We're like, just sign the papers, get yourself some time in Austria. And now it's the happy ending, right? At the time it was insane, but now it's the happy ending.
I'm waiting for the movie release of this because this sounds interesting. You know, it's better than the Greek wedding, I guess, you know, because this would be, like a 6 year after delayed marriage. I mean, look, okay, you've been swept off your feet. You're heading out to Vienna. I mean, when you finally made that step over that, you know, that international line, did you do any background check on where am I going? Where am I going to end up? I mean, did you do anything or what?
Well, when I was tour guiding, we would often come through Vienna. I'd be here for 2 nights at a time. And I actually used to think that Vienna was the most boring city in Europe, because all you do when you come here as a tourist is you see a palace, you see a classical music concert, you eat a schnitzel, eat a strudel, and then you leave. And you don't really get to know the city itself and the character of it. So I used to think Vienna was, super boring until I moved here. I didn't do any research. I didn't know a lick of German, couldn't speak the language, didn't have any friends, didn't have a job lined up. It was insanity when I think about it now. But, you know.
But you did.
Like most immigrants and expats, you find a way to kind of, find your path.
Yeah. How did you handle with the language? Because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to somebody who moved just like, you know, similar situation. And the language was kind of like something to get over, you know. I mean, how are you dealing with the language and stuff like that?
Yeah, German isn't the friendliest, I have to say. Like in terms of, you know, that sounds awful, but I was always like, damn, he couldn't have been French. Like French is beautiful, right? But no, German... German is a little bit more work. For me, it was really tough the first 3 to 6 months at least. Like, not so much the studying of it, like that you obviously just have to do the work. But what I found really difficult was if you're sitting in a social situation, if you're trying to meet new friends, if you're sitting in a bar or a park or a big group of people who are speaking German and you can't participate in that, I felt like I didn't have a personality. I felt like these people didn't know who I was, right? So that was a huge, you know, identity curve. Like, who am I if I can't make snappy one-liners and jokes and things like that? So it really took a lot of time and patience. And I kind of found a combination of, I found a German school that serves wine along with your German classes.
Wine, this is good.
So that was good. And focused more on the conversational side. And I pushed through that, you know, bad part of sitting around with German people. It's the only way you learn the natural cadence of the language and the local expressions and different dialects. So yeah, I'm by no means fluent. Like, Vienna's a very international city.
Right.
There's a huge expat and an immigrant community. There's loads of, you know, the UN has a headquarters here, all these different international organizations. And I was very fortunate to get work for an Australian founded travel startup here. So I've kind of dodged German a little bit, which is a blessing and a curse. I still now wish I was more fluent, but it's, you can live in Vienna as long as you know enough to get by and go to the store and, you know, defend yourself against the old ladies on the trams who are yelling at you, then it's okay. But yeah, German is an ongoing battle, let's say.
Well, after you learned enough of German to communicate with people, what usually is the topic of conversations when you talk to people? When they hear you, they know you're not from or around here. What kind of questions do you get from them? Like, you know, they ask you about where you're from, and if so, what kind of questions do you get from them?
Yeah, I mean, I think asking where are you from is one of Austrian people's favorite pastimes. Whether you're Australian or whether you're just from the next village over, they love finding out people's background. I think most of them are very, the initial reaction is always, "Wow, Australia! Like, what are you doing here?" Like, it's phenomenal to them that I would come from a country like Australia to live in Austria, because they all see Australia as like paradise on earth, which it is in some ways. So that, yeah, it tends to be a lot of questions about Australia and how did I make it across to Austria and what am I doing here and those sorts of things. So yeah, a lot of people, you know, they say Austrians aren't that warm when you first meet them. Hmm. They're not like natural networkers and things like this. So it tends to be very, very chilled kind of conversations. They don't get too invasive from the first conversation. It's only once you warm them up a little bit that you get into those intense topics, if you like.
Oh, like what counts as intense topics?
I would say Austrians are very direct. So they will ask you very, my husband and I often joke, you know, there's the Western way of communicating, the very, you know, Australians do have that British blood flowing through them. So we don't talk about personal family matters or finances or things like this with strangers or even with work colleagues or anything else. But an Austrian will sit down next to you if they know you mostly and just cut to the core of an issue and ask a very direct question. Wow. Which it's been a very interesting. Yeah. And it's culturally super interesting just to see the things that I'm comfortable with and Austrians are comfortable with. You know, Austrians get nude everywhere they go. They love, you know, swimming naked at lakes and being naked in saunas and things like that. And British and Australian and Americans have challenges with that. So it's continually every day I'm still learning stuff and all those cultural differences.
How do you build a network then?
I think I'm very lucky to be in Vienna. I think if you're out in the countryside in Austria, it can be more difficult. In Vienna, there is a lot of meetup groups, Facebook groups. Women of Vienna is probably one of the largest ones. They've got like 5,000 Facebook members. Girl Gone International was a huge one for me when I first got here. That's a community founded by an amazing woman by the name of Anne Scott. She started this community for expat and immigrant women who have moved to cities that they're not originally from. And that group really gave me my first network and connections in Austria, in Vienna, you know, women that were like me that were trying to rebuild their lives or figure themselves out in a brand new city. So that was great. In terms of connecting with locals, though, I think it's very much about social events, but also sports clubs and different communities, like local communities, volunteering. We do some local volunteering to, you know, help in food kitchens or things like this. That's the only way you're going to get incidental interaction, if you like, with locals, because they're not socializing is very different. It can be quite clicky in some places. So joining those local communities and building those roots from a ground level helps.
Wow, you sound very energetic. You know, by listening to you, I like, wow, I want to go to Vienna. Just flip it around then. How about people back home? What kind of questions you get from, you know, the folks back home? You know, you're far from us. You know, traveling back and forth from Vienna to, you know, back to your home nation, it's not like jumping on a bus, you know, and going for a couple of hours. It's quite a leap. What kind of questions do you get from people back home? You know, hey, girl, what are you doing over there? Snap, snap.
Yeah. tends to be, when are you coming home? but that's family, of course. They're always going to be asking that question. For most Australians, they don't know anything about Austria. Like, you know, you hear the cliches about Germany or the cliches about, you know, most Australians of my generation will get a working holiday visa and move to London or Canada or something like this. Very, very few move to a small Central European country speaking German. So they tend to ask why what I'm doing over there. And then once I kind of explain, you know, the quality of living and the kind of lifestyle that we can afford over here that I think would be a little bit more challenging back in Australia, you can kind of see the wheels turning. But, you know, also if you're Australian living in Australia, you don't necessarily want to hear about how awesome the life is in another country. So it's, yeah, they're definitely curious. It's definitely an unusual path compared to most of my friends, but most of them are just excited to have an excuse to come to Europe and visit us.
You know, because, you know, being from America, when I hear stories about, you know, your home nation, it sounds so relaxed. You guys are very well-tempered. I know I'm going to make you angry by saying that Crocodile Dundee type of attitude. You know, that's a wonderful smile you got there. But, you know, we think your guys are so cool and also don't take a lot of crap because you carry all these big knives, you know. I mean, this is the stereotype, you know. But when you live overseas so long, but there's some things that you may feel you miss out on, you know, like, you know, people growing their families, you know, you've been over there 6 years and, you know, there's a lot to catch up on when you have to go back. I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, catching up on the growing up of relatives, children and stuff like that, you know, how do you go through that type of phase?
Yeah, I mean, I think WhatsApp is a blessing. WhatsApp and Skype calls are super important with close family in particular. You know, we all have our family chat and we send photos and stuff as much as possible. It tends to be like in the early days when I was here, a lot of friends were still traveling through Europe in the summertime. So they'd stop by and stay with us. And we just try and, you know, I think the good friends that you really know and you've known a long time, you can not see each other for 6 months and you pick up right where you left off. So just keeping that connection, making sure that we're going back and visiting, or at least coordinating between travel plans across wherever people are, you just make the time to see them when you can for as long as you can. I think I'm traveling for work to Canada next month and my dad is, I think we're going to end up having maybe 36 hours where we're in the same city, but we're going to make the most of that time and, you know, just enjoy it. So yeah, we try and get back home every 2 years or so, or my side of the family will come to Europe for Christmas. My sister also lives in Edinburgh, so it's kind of a little bit more justified. But yeah, with close friends, you know, I'm in my early 30s. Everyone's having babies right now, so it's just keeping up with all of that stuff on text messages or, I mean, Facebook kind of, but Facebook is sort of impersonal these days. So WhatsApp and just reaching out the old-fashioned way, speaking to the people in depth when you have them, have them in front of you.
We're pretty lucky to have tools like, you know, Zoom, Skype, which we're using right now, and everything. We are in interesting times and things like that. But, you know, let me go back to where you are in Vienna. I mean, What kind of interesting things or discoveries you found out while there? You know, you got the language. Okay, you can communicate and you know all the beautiful spots. But what are some of the things that, well, that you can dig out at this point of your life there that you would not normally have just being a tour guide there in your earlier days? What kind of things did you manage to go deep in and pull out and maybe has left you with a, an engraved type of impression?
Make the voice of your life abroad heard at Four Seas One Family by visiting our contact page at fourseasonefamily.com/contact. Let it be known that we have a lot more in common than we think, because we are Four Seas One Family.
Yeah, I think now what I value most about living in Vienna is the work-life balance mentality that they have here. Like, we talk about it a lot in Australia, and I'm sure in America and other countries, we say, yeah, work-life balance, how do you do it all, everything else. But Austria doesn't really talk about it. They just live it. They are, you can, at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, forget trying to call any office. Everyone's going to be gone already. Forget trying to, you know, go to a doctor at 9 o'clock at night, they're going to be closed already. In fact, they have ridiculous opening hours. You know, stores close on a Sunday. Stores in the countryside close at Saturday at midday. So they really emphasize, you know, the importance of disconnecting and spending time with your family and spending time outside of work and, yeah, just valuing life beyond work. And that's definitely one of the biggest lessons I've taken away. And I think in terms of the city itself, what I now know is how many different pockets there are, how different suburbs and areas can be. And I'm forever like curious and excited to find the gems, the local district gems. So we have now, in my little area, I live very close to Schönbrunn Palace, which is kind of the big famous tourist site.
Right.
But my favorite thing to do when people visit, we take them to see the palace, but then just off to the left-hand side, there's my favorite little brunch cafe, Jausen Station Maidai, and there's this public swimming pool in the palace grounds. And you can go to this public swimming pool. Nobody knows about it. The tourists never find out about it. It's on the walking path. But yeah, we took some friends there this week and it was fantastic. And, you know, pretending to be royalty swimming in a public park in a palace is not too shabby. So I think finding those unexpected gems of the city is something that I really value, along with learning, you know, how to live a more balanced life, Austrian style.
Yeah, because I'm under the impression now, the more I speak to people who live out where you are, they have that work balance that, you know, in the United States, we're all like, you know, I work hard, but it doesn't mean I'm working well or I'm working in a healthy way, you know, and stuff like that. You know, we're moving at such a fast pace, and that work-life balance, I can say, at least back home where I'm from, this has been lost. But, you know, living overseas, and, you know, you still have to do the regular thing. You still have to sustain your life, keep your health up and stuff like that. Where you are, have you faced, what types of struggles that you had to go through while there? I mean, you are not, in, as we say in America, not in Kansas anymore, you know, with the Wizard of Oz type of touch there. What was some of the struggles you had to face while, just facing normal life things there that maybe would be unique to an immigrant or expat?
Yeah, I think there's a variety of things. Obviously, the early day stuff, the feeling powerless when I first got here, like not having a job, not having, you know, going to the supermarket and trying to find something if I'm looking for a recipe or find an ingredient or understand what is Aufschnitte, what does that mean, what if this like mixed meat situation. So feeling, I think for me, that journey of really starting your personality, your sense of self from scratch, was definitely one of the early days struggles. I'm in the very privileged position. I'm from a Western country. It was relatively simple for me to get a visa once I was married. But definitely I was here in 2015 during the refugee crisis. Obviously there was a lot of, I was actually on a train coming back from Budapest. I went for a weekend away with my girlfriends and ended up on a train with a whole bunch of refugees trying to make it through Vienna out across to Germany. And I was acutely aware of, you know, my privileged position there that I was able to get through and still travel through. So that period of time changed my awareness of Austrians' attitudes to immigrants. So now when I go down to the visa renewal office or anywhere else, there's a different energy and there's a different focus on immigrants coming to Austria. And I think that now is the challenge to make sure that the locals' attitude to immigrants, I try and actively call out people who, you know, there's slang sayings here where they call immigrants or people shit Auslanders, shit internationals. Whether that's an expat being disrespectful living in the city for 20 years and not learning German, or whether that's a freshly arrived refugee, asylum seeker, immigrant, there is this underlying, you know, most of Europe is getting a little bit more right wing. There is this underlying attitude towards immigrants that I try to actively push back against, whether it's, old ladies in the supermarket bitching about shy Southlanders or whatever. I'm consciously aware of those issues and try to advocate or volunteer to help, to help break down those stereotypes that, you know, even sitting at the dinner table with family members who talk about, oh, yeah, very scary, these immigrants coming for your job. I'm like, I'm one of those immigrants. Right. I didn't take a job. Like, just getting that awareness out a little bit more. It's an interesting time to be an immigrant.
Interesting. You are very aware. I'm glad to be speaking to you because we are living right now, you know, the time of this recording, at interesting times. Not only, well, my home nation, but also where you are as well, because this thing's happening around here that is moving quite fast with the people crossing borders under different contents, you know. And this is something that's not going to stop anytime soon. When you interact with other expats or immigrants, you know, what kind of issues do you find that, besides this, what you just mentioned, what kind of issues do you find that mostly affect others in the ways that you wish you can change? Besides the topic you just talked about, having them, well, updating them on their views of immigrants, are there any other things that you can probably announce upon?
I mean, in terms of things, you know, when a big bunch of expats in Vienna get together, invariably the things that you're going to whinge about or notice are the Viennese are so grumpy or service is so rubbish here. And I find those, I mean, maybe it's because I'm, you know, I've been here long enough. Come on, guys. But I find that's also on us as immigrants and expats to learn, actually, they're not being rude. They're not being lazy. That is how communication is here in Austria. This is their type of level of service. We're not in Australia anymore. We're not in America. They don't have to, you know, pretend to love you to get a tip and service. This is actually, they're fully trained hospitality people. And the reason that they're being grumpy with you is because they deal with X amount of tourists per day. And the attitude, if you're working into a Vienna coffee house, is you are meant to take your time and relax. And the focus is not on speed, it's on the experience. So I guess the flip side is also making sure that you don't get caught in those expat bubbles. You don't get caught in those easy cliche attitudes, like, slipping into assumptions about the country that you live in, like just assuming all Viennese are grumpy. Because actually, you talk to a waiter, the first time you have to, you know, bow down a little bit and be like, thank you, sir. But 5 minutes later, they'll come back and be joking with you and bantering with you. It's a very subtle thing and hard to pinpoint, but I think what I try and do, at least for new people coming to the city, or, you know, even when my family visits and they're frustrated by allegedly slow service, I'm like, no, guys, this is, you're in Europe now. It's not the way it is going to be back home. This is how things operate here. And we need to adapt to that rather than trying to enforce, why isn't this like it is back home?
You can't bring your own, your style of baggage with you everywhere, because, you know, it just doesn't fit everywhere. What do you do to kind of like get away? I mean, kind of like recharge yourself. What do you do, you know, besides the wonderful coffee you probably go drink over there? What do you do to like relieve some of that tension? Because at home, there's different ways to kind of like let it all hang out. How do you do that abroad where you are?
We're super fortunate. Like, Vienna is absolute smack bang center of Europe. So Budapest is 2 hours away. Prague is 4 hours away. Ljubljana is super close. I can go out, visit another city in no time at all. But the city itself is also surrounded by vineyards and the Vienna Woods and all of these amazing nature parks and areas that you can go hiking, biking, just walking around on a Sunday afternoon, rivers, lakes, the whole shebang. So most of the time, like, one of my favorite things to do is jump on my bike, camera in hand, ride around the city or get out of the city into nature a little bit and kind of decompress that way. Or head out to a part of Austria where my husband's from is Tyrol, where there's gorgeous, glorious mountains. It's like basically fairy tale land where they have huge, big mountains, beautiful lakes, fresh caught fish. Like, wow. They all live in those little wooden huts, exactly the stereotype that you imagine from Sound of Music. Uh-huh. Like that. We can go and visit there on a weekend, and that really resets you from that kind of city mentality, or mm-hmm. if everything's getting a bit too much.
Well, I'm jealous now. I'm just getting jealous.
I'm selling you on Vienna, man.
Okay, well, you mentioned camera. Now, this is interesting, camera, because you also have this really top-end website, you know, and I want you to talk a little bit about that, because there's a lot of photos up there. I mean, a lot. I mean, I get lost. You get, especially the part where you have you talk about brunch and coffee, because I'm a coffee type of guy. You know, can you talk a little bit about your website there?
Yeah, man. Brunch and coffee is my jam. So I started the website when I first got to Austria. Like a lot of expat bloggers, I guess. When I first got to Austria, I didn't have a job. I didn't have friends. It was coming into winter, so I was losing my mind sitting on the couch. So I started the blog just as a way, you know, I was struggling. I was feeling very lonely, and I was like, I can't be the only one going through this. So I started the blog just to share some of that, to share some of my experience. I'd been traveling for 2 years, so I had a whole bunch of stories about life on the road. And that was back in 2013, so it was still roughly early days for blogging. Like, compared to now, there wasn't the huge, you know, Instagram influencer trends and all that crazy stuff that happens now. So I really just started it to try and find my people and to try and feel less alone with the struggle that I was going through. And then just really loved it. I've always been a writer. I always love writing and sharing stories. And because I was a tour guide, I also love, you know, sharing that insider knowledge, sharing the insider advice, like, oh, guys, I found this historic palace and this is the story behind it. And oh my God, come and check this out. Bringing that enthusiasm that I have for sharing local places or historical stories, I just funneled it all into the blog. And the photography side of it came hand in hand. You can't just have a page full of words. So I started experimenting with photography and just seeing what I could do with it, learning how to edit. I've taken, I don't know how many online courses, for blogging and photography. But it was really, for me, it's been a creative outlet for the past, couple of years, just to build my skills and to understand what's going on out there and to, you know, share the progression of my story, share an outsider's perspective on life in Austria. It's amazing to me. Like, I just thought it would be expats and people back home reading my blog, but actually loads of people who are Austrian read the blog, even though it's in English, because they find it hilarious the way I write about Austrians. So yeah, it's been a wild kind of ride.
It sounds educational, but it looks a lot like fun. What angle do you approach? I'm sure there's other expats doing the same thing. Is there any particular angle you have chosen to take to express yourself or to kind of like open up communication lines about your part of the world in Austria?
For me, I think everything is rooted in storytelling and authenticity. So I can't help but be honest about somewhere, or if something's grinding my gears, then I'm going to share about it, to open discussion, to find out if, again, it comes back to that, is anyone else going through this? Like, what is this? Am I crazy here? And thankfully, when I do share those kind of more raw, honest articles, I get responses back from people like, oh my God, yes, I was going through this. And why is it like this? But other people aren't necessarily talking about it. So for me, I mean, there's a host of fantastic expat blogs here in Austria, but my jam is definitely, yeah, talking about the brunch and coffee places, talking about the stories behind a destination, whether it's in Austria or when I travel part-time around Europe, And just being as authentic and relatable as possible. I'm not the girl who stands on top of a mountain in a ball gown taking photos of it. I'm not aspirational, I don't think. I just try and really make what I create relatable mm-hmm. and useful to anyone reading it, like whether you're going to be entertained by the story I'm telling or whether it's going to be a useful guide to the city that helps you find those local places that are so enjoyable. Mm-hmm. That's what I aim for anyway.
What kind of recurring questions do you get from your visitors to your website that kind of like, you know, that sticks out to you the most? Because I'm sure there's some things that you find people coming year to year or certain times of the year, the same questions come up. Are there anything like that that pops up?
I think the biggest one is people who are moving to Austria or Vienna tend to find my blog. They tend to surface it. And a lot of the questions are around, you know, what's it really like? What do I need to prepare to do this? Or what's a good area to live? Or, you know, just the reassurance that they're going to be okay by moving to Vienna, because it's a big, scary unknown for a lot of people. So that's definitely one of the biggest ones. And then kind of colloquially day to day, like just with friends or coworkers or whatever, I very often get the, okay, so where should I take them for dinner? Or where is the best schnitzel place? Or where is the best brunch right now? What's the best, you know, third wave coffee place? So a bit of a mix of reassuring people who are making these huge, scary life changes and more of the, yeah, people wanting to know the inside word on where's good to go.
Oh, so you tell, you, when they get ready, for example, I'm here in Taiwan and I want to go over and visit you for that coffee. How should I pack my suitcase?
How should you pack your suitcase? Oh, man. I don't know what the weather's like in Taiwan, but you want to, yeah, it's not going to be hot here. It's been hot the last 2 weeks because the heat wave is insane right now. But, yeah, pack an umbrella, pack a decent pair of jeans and walking shoes. Vienna's a super casual city. Pack some stuff for outdoors. And then maybe just, like, a nice collared shirt to go into some of the fancier coffee houses, but you don't need to pack anything too complicated for really? Vienna. Vienna's a very open, accessible city. Everyone's super casual here. I think I moved here with like three pairs of heels and I've never worn them since. Like it's despite the fancy architecture and everything else. You can go fancy if you want to, but it's a pretty chill, laid back city.
Wow. Oh, you know, Cardi, what has living overseas, especially as an immigrant expat, taught you about yourself and something that you would not have necessarily learned about yourself if you just stayed home? What have you learned about yourself just by being where you are today outside your home nation? What have you learned about yourself?
That is a big life question, my friend. I think I'm a lot more self-aware now, aware of my kind of implicit biases, aware of, like, you know, I don't know if this happens naturally growing up and when you start your own family and whatever else, but just aware of the weird shit that I took for granted as normal is actually not normal. Just, you know, the way that an Australian going on holiday, their goal is to relax and sit by the pool as much as possible in the sunshine. Amazing. Dream holiday. An Austrian going on holiday, their dream is to go for a hike and play beach volleyball and do as many activities as possible and like go, go, go the whole time. So I think what I've learned is just that self-awareness of questioning the way that I behave in the world and comparing it to what I was raised with. And that's an ongoing process of learning within another culture, also within my own relationships, friendships, everything else. So I've learn a huge amount. I think it was probably one of the best things I could have done, not knowing it at the time. But it's made me really form my own identity away from just following the crowd, right? Like away from, I love all my friends that I grew up with and my family, obviously, but when you're alone, when you have to start from scratch completely, you learn so much more about yourself and you get to define who you want to be and how you want to behave away from those implicit influences.
Right. And I'm sure it helped you see your own home in a different way too. I'm going to give you the consulting hat right now. I'm going to ask you for advice. If you were to meet someone who's in another part of the world and they're thinking about not maybe visiting where you are, just exploring life outside their home nation, are there any type of What special advice would you give to those people and or for those who are already overseas at a location but not getting the best out of their overseas journey, out of their overseas experience? What type of advice would you offer them?
Pete, first of all, for those guys just thinking about it at home, I would say 100% to it. It sounds, you can overthink it and plan for everything and try and control what's going to happen, but you just don't know. But it's worth every second. The challenge of it, the pushing yourself to your limits, the terrifying unpredictability of it all, you will learn things about yourself that you do not learn living at home. For people that are struggling currently in living abroad, my benchmark, at least, and this is through a whole bunch of friends, through my own experience, you need to give it at least 18 months until you get to a good place. That tends to be kind of the fight or flight point, right? Like, first of all, it's okay to have shit days. You don't have to be sunshine and rainbows and puppies every single day of living abroad. It's not going to be amazing. It's going to be really hard. And it's okay to push through those days and, you know, embrace them for what they are as sucky days. But you also need to have the mental fortitude to not succumb to that, to not, you know, keep picking up the phone for people back home, keep trying to find the connections back to home. Because if you're living abroad, the only way you're going to know if it works is if you throw yourself into it. So, yeah, I guess patience and fortitude is the answer. Like, give yourself 18 months to see if it's working. And if at that 18-month mark you're still hating it and you've really properly tried, you've tried outreach into the local community, you've tried to find work, you've given it 110%, if you're still dragging your feet every minute, then it's not worth it. Then you're just, you know, bashing your head against a brick wall, and for whatever reason the universe is telling you to go, then go. But yeah, the 18-month mark is one I would try and encourage everyone to get to, because it's only then that you really get your bearings and the whirlwind stops and it starts to get really fun.
Wow. You know, Carly, before you drop the mic on us here, you know, once again, your website is just, I mean, you got things, you know, what, you are pregnant? Oh, when I saw that, I was like, no, not me. But I mean, you got How to Survive out, you know, in Europe as an expat. Your website is just pages and pages full of education. Yeah, that's it. And information. Tell me about how we can contact you. I mean, the website is?
The website is AustrianAdaptation.com. And you can find me on all social media, either at Austrian Adaptation or on Twitter. It's at Carly Hulls, CarlyHulls. I also do a little bit of freelance writing for Lonely Planet. I'm a Lonely Planet local, and do some hotel reviews for Forbes Travel. So basically, if you need advice about Vienna or living abroad in Europe, I can be found at Austrian Adaptation across Instagram, blog, Twitter, everywhere. or drop by Vienna. Come say hi.
Carly, thank you very much for taking the time out of your day and joining us here at Four Seas, One Family.
Thank you so much for hosting. It's been super fun. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao. And thank you once again for listening to us here at Four Seas, One Family. If you'd like to know more about living overseas as an expat immigrant or migrant, or maybe you currently live overseas and have a story to share, we would like to hear from you. You can contact us here at 4seasonefamily.com/contacts. There you can also leave us an audio message via our SpeakPipe page. Remember, we have a lot more in common than we think, because we really are 4 Seas 1 Family. I'm James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan. Take care and Zaijian.